You know, every church, every family, every institution like Calvin College, each one of us as individual Christians have our favorite texts in the Bible. Interesting to think, what are the favorite texts here at Calvin College? Maybe In Your Light We See Light. It's right there in the chapel. We see it as we walk in every day. Or maybe this text from Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a text that I hear a great deal. Or maybe the refrain from Genesis 1, God looked at the world and said, it was good. It's a verse that is much loved and many times repeated here at Calvin. But then there are inevitably some texts that are underrepresented, that we don't hear a lot and read a lot. And that's true for each one of us. It's perhaps inevitable. Over the fall, knowing that I had the opportunity to speak today on this petition, Deliver Us from Evil, it's occurred to me that there is a strand of New Testament texts that are largely silent in our life together here at Calvin. Here's one of them from Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or this one from Romans 7. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Or this one from 2 Corinthians 11. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Or this one from 1 Peter 5. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. It's occurred to me that we have prelude discussions about creation, fall, redemption, responsible freedom, cultural engagement. I've been wondering lately if we should have a new session called Withstanding the Wiles of the Devil. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but only a little, actually. Because the more that I've thought about these texts this fall, the more oddly grateful I have been for them. Because they give me some explanation for what confronts me nearly every time I pick up a newspaper, or every time that my heart, my soul, is awake enough for many of the key discussions that happen on this campus every day, the kind of topics that are announced for in posters for lectures here on campus. Topics like human trafficking, abuse of power, child abuse, rape, including date rape, hunger, what is happening in Darfur, the astonishing levels of poverty in this country and even right here in West Michigan, torture, religious persecution, pornography, inhospitable treatment of persons with disabilities, racism, assaults on the environment, including most recently this feature that 60 Minutes ran this past week about the stinking dumps outside of Hong Kong that are filled with all of the recycled computers from North American suburbs. All of these things and 1,000 other evils are so prominent in every night's newspaper that I find it easy to become numb to it all, almost wanting to inoculate myself from really ever entering into just how awful all of this stuff is so that I can simply survive and go about my day. It strikes me the same numbness can occasionally set in our business here at Calvin of teaching and learning in classes. Think for a minute about how many of you are in classes right now where you are studying something that is when you think about it, really depressing. You're in a sociology or political science class studying racism or sexism. You're in a class in English or French literature reading very moving novels and poems and short stories, but they're about murder and warfare and religious persecution and poverty. Maybe you're in a communications class and you're studying propaganda. I once thought biology was immune to all this, but of course there you study things like pesticides and what they do to the earth and to the hamburgers we eat. Maybe you're in music. I was a music major here. I remember studying and singing all kinds of songs about murder and violence, all set to music that was so gorgeous that it was hard to remember exactly what they were about. You know, it's true, for us to be honest to the world, much of what we study has to be a bit depressing. And yet, despite this, I don't know about you, it's true, I think, for both professors and for students, sometimes we can spend a class period focused on something that is so depressing, but the most haunting question for us at the end of the class ends up being, you know, what exactly of this material is going to be on the next test? Yeah. And then what we end up practicing is a kind of indifference. When we encounter and contemplate something that is truly evil, but then we shift out of it very quickly when class period ends, we end up practicing a kind of ability to be indifferent, an ability to be inoculated. And in this context, the petition we come to today, deliver us from evil, is such a poignant, powerful, spiritual medicine. It is one of the most poignant and powerful spiritual medicines, especially on a college campus, especially in a suburban location. And here are a few reasons that have come to me this fall as I've been meditating on this petition. First, this is such a powerful spiritual medicine because it reminds us that salvation is not a quick fix. Jesus, after all, gave us this prayer to pray on a regular basis. And this petition, deliver us from evil, is as much necessary every day for us as give us today our daily bread. It's Jesus' way of being frank with us. It's Jesus' way of saying to us, as a follower of me, be assured you will struggle with evil to the end of time. You will need to pray, deliver us from evil. Second, here is a petition that saves us from a head-in-the-sand approach to evil. When we enter this prayer, there is something truth-telling. We are letting ourselves live into the truth that evil is powerful and pervasive in this world. Third, when we enter this prayer, we are asking God not only to work on problems out there, but also problems in our own hearts. The Bible tells us, after all, very clearly that evil does not just prowl around out there, but the devil prowls around in here. When we pray, deliver us from evil, it is like praying a kind of spiritual detoxification prayer, not just for landfills and not just for regimes of terrible torture and evil. It's like praying a detox prayer for our own hearts. Fourth, here is a prayer, paradoxically but beautifully, that frees us when we are victims of evil from the need to seek revenge or retribution. When we are wronged by evil, we are taught to pray, "Our Father, deliver us from evil." That's a way for us to say, "God, you finally are the arbiter of justice. I can be freed from the need and ultimately the burden of seeking revenge." Fifth, here is a prayer, though, that doesn't just invite us to enter into evil, but invites us finally to see what is the answer for evil. N.T. Wright says it this way, To pray, deliver us from evil, is to inhale the victory of the cross. Because while the Bible truly and clearly tells us that the devil does prowl and evil is prominent, it says even more loudly, Christ has conquered. And so we sing, oh, let us not forget that though the wrong is great and strong, God is the ruler yet. And in this way, this prayer works a little bit like a painting that is filled with darkness, but then moves to a painting that is filled with light. It's a prayer that, in helping us confront the darkness, also helps us see just how bright the light of Christ really is. And then finally, here is a prayer that, by the Spirit's power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can work a little bit like an exorcism, a tool, a way for God to be at work ridding the world of evil, even in us. Now, I know that there are many people, in fact, perhaps many people here today, that really don't think exorcisms happen much. But I'd like to suggest that maybe they happen a lot more than we realize. Suppose you go today to a sociology class or a literature class or a music class, and your topic is racism. And in the middle of that class, something confronts you with just how perniciously evil racism is. And suppose that you pray upon that discovery again, our Father, deliver us from evil. And then suppose that that starts working in you so that you start living out of a new conviction with a new eagerness to resist the pernicious evil of racism in your own heart, in your own resonance hall, in your own family, in your own context of work and other classes. The result of all that can be nothing less than a Holy Spirit-led exorcism. That can happen right in the middle of a class, right here, of all places, at Calvin College. Which is finally why it's so crucial that we at Calvin study topics that seem depressing. It is not to wallow in them, but it is finally to be a part of the redemption that God promises, the exorcism that is promised by the power of the cross. So my prayer today is that all of us, because we all will encounter evil, that we will all have the capacity to look at it, to see just how pernicious it really is, and then we will have the capacity with new attentiveness and new conviction and new sincerity to look at it and to pray, our Father, deliver us from evil. And if you will, help me to be part of that deliverance program. And above all, give me confidence that in Christ, you are bringing about a final answer to every single evil that we so lament. Let's pray together and prepare to do that, not just now, but all day long. As we close today, I'd like to leave you with this verse. It comes as a closing verse to the book of Romans. It's not a verse we hear often in chapel. Romans 16, verse 20, announces this good news. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so I say, go in peace. Thank you.